Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So today we continue our journey of understanding, contemplating on the chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini. And in the last few episodes, if you have been following this program, following this series, we have been pausing a lot, moving rather very slowly through this chapter 7. This chapter has been divided into many segments. We are in segment 7.4 now. And the reason we are proceeding very slowly in this chapter is, here is one chapter where Bhagwan has very clearly delineated several important points, practical tips for us to follow in our daily life if we want to become close to the Lord, if we want to become dear to the Lord. This is one chapter where the devotee is not asking any question. The devotee is only saying, Lord, I have no questions. You just only tell me what I should do to become close to you. And that is when the Lord, one by one, shares so many pertinent points. And we have been contemplating on each of these directions that Bhagwan has written down. We are now in the segment where Bhagwan has written point number 31 to point number 41. Today we will discuss point number 38. But let us listen to all those 11 points in the segment 7.4, chapter 7, Sandeha Nivarini. After we listen to what Bhagwan has written, then we will start our contemplation on what and how we can understand what Bhagwan has given us.
Try as far as possible within your means to satisfy the needs of the poor, who are really Daridra Narayana. Share with them whatever food you have and make them happy. 32. Whatever you feel should not be done to you by others. Avoid doing such things to others. 33. For the faults and sins committed in ignorance, sincerely repent from your heart and try not to repeat the faults and sins again. Pray to God to bless you with the strength and the courage needed for you to do this. 34. Do not allow anything to come near you, which will destroy your eagerness and enthusiasm for God. Lack of enthusiasm will cause the decay of the strength of man. 35. Yield not to cowardice. Hold on to Ananda. 36. Do not get welled up when people praise you. Do not feel dejected when people blame you. 37. If among your friends anyone hates another and starts a quarrel, do not attempt to inflame them more. On the other hand, try to ensure that they come together with love. 38. Do not search for others' faults. Instead, search for your own mistakes yourself and throw them away. It is enough if you search and discover one fault of yours. That is better than discovering 10 faults in others. 39. Even if you cannot or will not do any punya or good deed, do not conceive or carry out any papa or bad deed. This is best. 40. Whatever people may say about the faults that you know are not in you, do not fear for it. As for the faults that are in you, try to correct them yourself, even before others point them out to you. Do not harbor anger or bitterness against persons who point out your faults. Do not retort, pointing out the faults of those persons themselves, but show your gratitude to them. Instead, if you try to discover their faults, that would be a greater mistake on your part. It is good for you to know your faults. It is no good to search the faults of those who pointed out your mistakes. This would be of no use. 41. Whenever you get a little leisure, do not spend it in talking about all and sundry, but utilize it in meditating on God, or it is good to render service to others.
So those are points number 31 to 41 from chapter 7 of Sandeha Nivarini. So let's take up point number 38 from where we left off in the previous session. So in point number 38, Bhagwan is saying, do not search for others' faults. Instead, search for your own mistakes and throw them away. It is enough if you search and discover one fault of yours. That is better than discovering 10 faults in others. In fact, this is a message of Bhagwan that I remember reading in Prema Vahini also. In so many discourses, Bhagwan has emphasized on we looking at our own frailties and not finding reasons for our miseries outside of ourselves. Some used to always say that if you point a finger at someone, there are three fingers pointing at you. Some used to gesture how when we raise our index finger, there are middle finger and the two other fingers, ring finger, they are pointing towards us. In fact, in a very beautiful discourse that Bhagwan delivered in the Sri Satya Sai Panduranga Kshetra in Harshi, Pune on 29th October 2009, Bhagwan says, what is it that you must know today? You should know that your mistakes, you should recognize your mistakes and rectify them. That is enough. Swami says, you become a true human being when you know this truth. What does the term human being mean? A human being is one with morality and character. When people adhere to the path of morality, they will have no suffering. It is only to teach such lessons to humans that God incarnates on earth. This is what Bhagwan says in 2009 in Harshi. In another lovely discourse, Bhagwan gives the example of Ratnakara, the robber who, on the advice of Narada, started chanting the name of Rama incessantly, and as a result of which the radiance of Rama was seen on his countenance and he became sage Valmiki. We know the story of Ratnakara, how once he understood his mistake when Narada asked him to check with his family if they are willing to part a and give him company and participate in the sins that he's committing as a robber to feed the family. And when the family disassociated themselves, that is when Ratnakara realized his mistake. And once he realized his mistake, he started the process of repentance. He was not looking at others' faults. He was not blaming his wife. He was not blaming his family for what he was. Once he realized his own folly, he decided to make his life holy. And Bhagwan very beautifully says, Rama is Lokadata. He is the giver of the world. And Valmiki became Shlokadata. He became the composer of the holy hymns. He gifted to the world these precious divine verses. By contemplating on Rama, he also became such a beautiful giver. He became the giver of divine verses. Swami, in fact, goes to the extent of saying there is no difference between the giver and the composer, Shlokadata and Lokadata. That is how Bhagavan says, Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavati. Once you, the knower of Brahman, Brahman becomes Brahman himself. That is the stage to which Valmiki reached. The Valmiki who was Ratnakara. The Ratnakara who realized his mistake and started making amends, serious amends. There is this very beautiful story of the life of Saint Samartha Ramadas. In Trai Vrindavan, Bhagwan once gave a very detailed account of the life of this great saint, the great Maharashtrian saint. It was a discourse given on the 19th of March 1993. The reason I am sharing this story is, in his life, you see how beautifully, once you know your mistake and you repent for your mistake, how your life changes dramatically. But before I come to that incident, let me give you a little background of this great saint. He was born to a couple who were highly devoted to God. They lived in the Aurangabad district of Maharashtra, in a place called Badar. His childhood name was Narayana. And Narayana grew up as a naughty boy, but he had very, very devout parents. Unfortunately, at the age of 8 years, Narayana lost his father. His mother, Ramadevi, found it difficult to control the mischievous behavior of the little one. And in those days, since child marriage was very common, Ramadevi's relatives and neighbors advised her to get him married so that he might realize his responsibilities and change for the better. So even though he was just 13 years old, absolutely very young to get into a wedded life, but his mother yielded to the pressures and persuasions of others, and she found a girl and arranged for his little one's marriage. Now, at the time of the wedding, a screen of thick cloth was held in between the bride and the bridegroom, according to the prevailing custom, and the priest removed the curtain to hand over the Mangalasutram, the sacred thread of wedlock, to the bridegroom for him to tie it round the bride's neck. So, when the priest removed the curtain to give Narayana the Mangalasutra, to their utter surprise, the bridegroom had disappeared behind the curtain. Somehow, he had skipped. He slipped from that event and no one knew where he disappeared. Narayana had just vanished into thin air. Everyone started searching for him. He was supposed to be there behind the curtain. When the curtain was to be removed, he was supposed to be given the Mangalasutra and he was to tie that Mangalasutra on the bride's neck. But when they remove the curtain, it is just emptiness. They searched for him everywhere, but in vain. No one knew where is Narayana. And so, the marriage did not happen. And the boy Narayana, who had escaped from the marriage hall, ultimately reached a place called Nasik, near the source of the sacred river Godavari. He stayed there for some time. He loved the ambience there. And from there he moved to a nearby mountain called Chitrakuta. Yes, the sacred mountain Chitrakuta, where Lord Rama lived for 12 years. And in the Chitrakuta mountain, he selected an exquisitely beautiful spot by name Panchavati. The boy Narayana was so enraptured by the grandeur of the scenery of the place, so moved with its sanctity, it used to send thrills of ecstasy through his being when he used to think of Lord Rama. And he started immersing himself in the contemplation of Lord Rama. But one may wonder, how did this transformation happen? He was a very naughty boy. His mother was unable to correct him. She wanted to get him married so that he comes into senses and he mends his behavior, but suddenly he has become so devout. Bhagwan in that discourse says, apart from the fact that his latent good samskaras, his accumulated tendencies, accumulated merits, were aroused by the sudden shock of the prospect of being saddled with the heavy responsibilities of married life, the boy, during his journey to Nasik, also entered a famous Hanuman temple. And Narayana went into that Hanuman temple and he wholeheartedly prayed to the deity, to Lord Hanuman, to bless him with all the noble qualities for which Hanuman was renowned. So that shock of marriage at that early age was so difficult for Narayana to accept and so difficult for him to reconcile with, that shock, Swami says, changed his life. He ran away from the wedding stage Of course, it was the merit and the good qualities that he had accumulated over several births, all that was now just coming into the fore. And what added was, during this journey, he enters this Hanuman temple and he prays to Lord Hanuman to bless him with all those sacred qualities. And as he wholeheartedly prayed, as he pined to Lord Hanuman, asking to be blessed with those sacred qualities, Swami says, Narayana had an indication of his prayer being answered by way of a gentle movement of the idol. And that movement of the idol sent spiritual vibrations from the idol to Narayana. And these rays of grace from Hanuman purified, sanctified, and created a new boy out of Narayana. Narayana started his penance at Panchavati at the age of 12. And Swami says, his intense penance at Panchavati gave him the threefold realization of Lord Rama, just like Hanuman had that experience. Hanuman used to say, Bhagwan used to quote this, when someone asked Hanuman, who are you? Then he said, if I think of myself as the body, I am the servant of Lord Rama. If I think of myself as the jiva, then I am a part of Lord Rama. If I am an individual soul, then I am a part of the cosmic soul. But if I think of myself as the Atma, then I and my Rama are one. Swami says, Narayana attained this threefold realization. It is said that he used to get up very early in the morning, go to the Godavari River, and with his half body immersed in water, he used to recite the Gayatri Mantra till about noon, continuous chanting. And then he would go and beg for alms. Whatever he used to collect, he used to first offer to Lord Rama and then take it as prasadam. In the afternoon, he would rest a little, and then he used to attend religious discourses in the various temples of Nasik and Panchavati. He also studied Sanskrit, and in his own hand, he copied the Ramayana of sage Valmiki. They say this manuscript is still preserved. Ramadas, during this period, did Purascharana of the Rama Mantra. Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram. He chanted 13 lakhs of times at Tafali near Nasik on the banks of Godavari. At the end of this sadhana, he was blessed with the darshan of Lord Rama. It is said that Lord Ramachandra then asked Ramadas to visit holy places like Nasik, Haridwar, Kashi. Perhaps it was the divine direction for him so that these sacred places get recharged. Bhagwan, in that discourse in Trayi, says, after Ramadas attained that realization, similar to what Hanuman had attained, he returned to Nasik from Panchavati. And when he was in Nasik, he came to know that the country was in the grip of a severe famine. And then he began to reflect, what is the point thinking of my own liberation when my countrymen are suffering due to famine, this is only extreme selfishness. And that is the reason Bhagwan says he coined the slogan, Dil Mein Ram, Haath Mein Kaam, the Lord in the heart and service on our hands. And he entered the arena of social service with all his energy and zeal. He inspired his band of dedicated workers with the motto, Manava Seva is Madhava Seva, service to man is service to God. Grama Seva is Rama Seva. Swami says, he filled the tank of his heart with the holy water of Ramanama, which flowed through the top of his hands to quench the thirst of the multitudes of his countrymen. Proceeding thus from village to village, doing social work, coupled with chanting of Ramanam, Narayana finally reached Rameshwaram at the southern tip of the Indian peninsula. And from there, Narayana went to the pilgrim centers of Tirupati, where he had the darshan of Lord Venkateshwara. He went to Hampi, where he worshipped Lord Virupaksha, the famous shrine of Hampi, is verily the place where Bhagwan enacted in his own life that beautiful miracle of him appearing outside the temple as well as inside the temple during his childhood, if you read Bhagwan's life story. So, Narayana, now as Ramadas, visited Tirupati, Hampi, and he finally returned to Nasik. On the way to Nasik, he saw Saint Tukaram, who was singing the glories of Rama so melodiously. The Emperor Shivaji also was so moved with the compositions of Tukaram that he was attracted to his beautiful devotion and his profound music, which moved the masses. And as Shivaji listened to Tukaram, Shivaji was filled with renunciation. He decided to give up his kingdom and just devote himself fully and wholeheartedly to the pursuit of the spiritual path. But Tukaram admonished Shivaji and he said, don't have such narrow-minded view of spirituality. Do your work as worship to God. Consider your duty as God. Consider your work as worship. And thereupon, Shivaji prayed to Tukaram to give him initiation. But Tukaram told Emperor Shivaji, I am not your guru. Your guru is Ramadas. You will receive initiation only from Ramadas. At that point in time, Shivaji was a little disappointed. He returned to his capital. And later, when Shivaji came to know that Narayana, who is now Ramadas, was in Nasik, he sent his ministers and other high dignitaries to invite Ramadas to the royal court with a band of music and other traditional honors befitting a highly distinguished personage. And when Ramadas arrived, Emperor Shivaji received him with due honors and reverence. He arranged for his stay in the palace itself. He washed his feet and he sprinkled the holy water on his own head and he submitted to him in all humility, O revered master, from this moment this kingdom belongs to you. I submit myself at your feet. I too am yours. And Ramadas very lovingly lifts Shivaji and says, "My son, I am an ascetic who has renounced everything. I have neither the right nor the desire for your kingdom. Your kingdom is limited. God's kingdom is unlimited. The goal of my life is to help everyone reach that unlimited kingdom of God. So I don't want this kingdom of yours." "Okay. But since you're offering me this kingdom, I'm accepting it, and now I am coronating you as the ruler of this kingdom which you have just offered to me. So from now onwards, you will be the king, but with a difference. You should consider that the kingdom really belongs to God and that you are only his instrument or a trustee administering the kingdom on the behalf of God." This is how the meeting between Shivaji and Ramadas happened. And then comes the beautiful story of how Ramadas became Samartha Ramadas. Ramadas had the extraordinary capacity to do many things. Samartha Ramadas means a man of versatile skills. Swami says there is an episode in his life which describes the context in which the title Samartha was conferred on him. And Swami says, Ramadas used to dress himself and move about like Kodandapani. He used to move about like Lord Rama used to have a bow and arrow. He used to dress himself like Lord Rama. He used to imagine himself to be Lord Rama. That was his love for his beloved Rama. And once when he was walking along the banks of Godavari, in this dress, some Brahmins who were taking bath questioned him, "Do you belong to the community of Koyas? Hunters belong to this hill tribe called Koyas." And Ramadas told them that he was Ramadas. He was only a servant of Rama. He is not a Koya. These Brahmins told him, "Why are you dressed and equipped with bow and arrows like Rama? If you are saying that you are only a servant of Rama, why are you dressed like Rama himself?" In fact, they heckled him and insulted him, saying, "What is the use of merely trying to imitate Kodandapani, imitate Lord Rama with the bow and arrow? You are imitating only in appearance. Are you capable of wielding the bow and arrow as Rama did?" They asked him. And Ramadas did not know what to say. Just then a bird was flying fast at a great height across the sky above their heads. And so the Brahmin said, Can you see that bird? Can you shoot that bird with your bow and arrow?" And Ramadas took up that challenge. With Rama's name on his lips, he immediately aimed an arrow at that flying bird, and that arrow went so perfectly that it hit that bird and brought it down right in front of the Brahmins. The bird was dead, of course. And now the Brahmins accused Ramadas. They said, There is no harmony of thought, word and deed in you. You are a Duratma. You are a wicked person. On one hand you chant Rama's name, and on the other hand you have committed the sin of killing an innocent bird just to show off your skill. And now Ramadas was in a dilemma. I mean, it was his Brahmins who challenged him. And once he did what they asked him, now they are accusing him of the act, the very act that they asked him to do. Ramadas replied that, I shot the bird at your instance. I didn't do it at my own will. Then the Brahmin said, so what? If he asks you to eat grass, will you do so? Don't you have your own independent thinking and discrimination? And now, Ramadas only very gently replied, sirs, O holy men, past is past. Now I have committed this mistake. Tell me what I should do now. So the Brahmin said, you should repent for your sin. So Ramdas closed his eyes and he prayed to God, seeking his forgiveness for the sin of killing that innocent bird. And he opened his eyes and he saw that the dead bird had not regained life. Even though he prayed to God, even though he repented for his mistake, but the dead bird was still dead. And now the Brahmin said, what a madcap you are. Repentance cannot undo what you have done. The purpose is only to make up your mind not to repeat such mistakes in future. Repentance cannot undo what you have done. But Ramdas said, in my humble view, that is no repentance. He told the Brahmins, God and His name are so powerful. If we pray sincerely, I am sure His grace will bring the dead bird back to life. The bird will definitely live again. So saying, he picked the dead bird, he hugged it to his bosom, and with tears flowing down his cheeks, he prayed to the Lord, O Rama, if I have been chanting your name with all my mind, heart and soul, and if it is a fact that I have killed this bird out of ignorance and not with an intent to kill, may your grace either revive this dead bird or take away my life along with that of this bird. This is the intense prayer that Ramadas made. And Bhagwan says, as he concluded his prayer, the bird fluttered in his hands. And as Ramadas opened his eyes, the bird happily flew into the sky. All the Brahmins were astonished. What a miracle that was. Now the Brahmins understood their mistake. And they told Ramadas, please forgive us. We had no clue of your greatness. You are someone who has the capacity to kill a flying bird with a single arrow, and at the same time the capacity to revive the dead bird with a single prayer. Since you are such capable person, you will hereafter be known by the worthy name of Samartha Ramadas. This is a beautiful story that Bhagwan has narrated. It caught my attention because here was one occasion when Ramadas had committed a mistake. And when the Brahmins told him, "See, you have killed the bird," at that point in time, Ramadas did not say, "See, I did not do this, you asked me to do, how can you accuse me?" He did not go on arguing with the Brahmins. He felt, "Okay, this is the mistake that I have done. Yes, I should have used my discretion." And then he started repenting for his mistakes. And once the sincere repentance happened, then grace flowed. That is what Swami is telling in this point number 38. Search for your own mistakes. It is enough if you discover one fault of yours than discovering 10 in others. After that, Ramadas visits Pandharipur. They say that Ramdas had not visited Pandharpur, though he had known of its existence. Apparently, one day, Lord Vithala, in the form of a Brahmin, with a batch of hundreds of pilgrims, appeared before Ramadas and asked him if he had any objection to see Lord Krishna, because Ramadas always was in contemplation of Lord Rama. And Ramadas said, "Oh Lord, no, I have no such reservations." Then Panduranga, they say, took Ramadas to Pandharpur. And when the devotees approached the temple, the Brahmin who had come with a batch of these 100 pilgrims, he suddenly disappeared. And that is when Ramadas knew that it was none other than the Lord who had brought him to that holy place. And as he entered the temple of Lord Vithala, to his great surprise, Ramadas sees there not Lord Vithala, but his own Rama standing alone on a brick. We know Lord Vithala stands on the brick with his arms akimbo. Ramadas sees his Lord Rama there. And he tells, "Oh Rama, what are you doing here alone? Where is your brother Lakshmana? Where is your consort, Mother Sita? Where is Hanuman? Where are the monkey hordes?" And when he goes on talking to the Lord in this manner, they say the image at once transformed itself back into Sri Pandarinath. And then Ramada started praising Panduranga for his kindness. He prostrated before him and sang songs of joy for that rare darshan that he had received. Ramadas was doubly convinced that the several incarnations of the Lord were but his several forms, and he started preaching that everyone should respect and worship the one who took care of one and all in the world. Ramadas worshipped Panduranga to his heart's content, and he became a frequent visitor and devotee of Panduranga Vithala. That is also one of the ways when Ramadas came in contact with Tukaram and other saints of Pandharpur. Swami says, when he was in Pandharpur, Ramadas was an eyewitness to the ideal way in which Pundarika served his parents as veritable gods, and how he made Lord Panduranga himself wait in front of his house, standing on a pair of bricks. brick still, he completed his service to his parents. If you are aware of the story of Pundalika, or Pundalika as he is called, his story also is one where, having realized the mistake, once one takes to the path of repentance, how life changes dramatically. So Pundalika was devoted to his parents before his marriage, but after his wedding, he started ill-treating his parents. And they say it came to a point where the parents could not take it anymore, and so they decided to leave for Kashi. Legend holds that people who die in the city of Kashi attain salvation from the cycle of birth and death. Now, given the pathetic treatment they were receiving in their home, the parents decided that it would be better for them to just stay at Kashi and wait for their last moment, because life at home was hell. But when Pundalika heard about his parents' travel plans, he said that he also will join them along with his wife. And they say that even during the journey, Pundalika made his parents walk while he rode on the horseback. And in the evenings, he made his parents groom the horses for the next day's journey. So the parents' woes never ended. The parents thought they will go away from their son and find some peace in Kashi, but their son did not allow them that opportunity. So in the journey one day they reached the hermitage of a pious sage, and since they were very exhausted, the family decided to stay there for a few days to recoup themselves. And that night Pundalika had a remarkable vision. He saw that just before dawn, a group of ladies, radiant, very beautifully dressed, but at the same time, their dress was soiled. These radiant ladies were adorning clothes which were very dirty. And he saw these ladies clean the floor, fetch water, and even wash the clothes of the venerable sage who was in that hermitage. And then he saw these ladies go to the prayer room. And when they emerged from the prayer room, he saw that their clothes were now spotlessly clean. And then, in that vision, Pundalika sees that in the blink of an eye, all these ladies disappeared. These ladies who came to the ashram in soiled clothes, did all the work, and when they returned, they went spotlessly clean. Somehow this vision kept playing in Pundalika's mind the whole of the next day. So the next night too, he remained awake and alert, curious to see if this vision would happen again. And it did repeat. And now the curiosity got better of him, and Pundalika could not contain himself but approached these ladies. And he asked them, "May I know who are you? You were there yesterday, you have come today. You do so much work. And by the time you finish, your clothes are now shining bright. You are so full of radiance. Who are you?" And they say, these ladies replied that, "We are the sacred rivers of India, Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, Kaveri." And they said, "Do you know why our clothes are so soiled? It is because all these pilgrims, they take a dip in the holy rivers to wash away their sins." And they looked at Pundalika and said, "O Pundalika, you with your ill treatment to your parents, you are the greatest sinner among all of them. And when Pundalika heard that, he was shocked. He was completely broken. And that is when the transformation started. He realized his mistake and he decided to change his life completely. From then on, he became so devoted to his parents that he went to any extent, even risking his life, to ensure the comfort of his father and mother. He became such a dutiful son that he would attend to their needs and he would sleep only after they slept. And one evening, the Lord himself, as the beautiful legend goes, the Lord himself manifested to give Pundalika his darshan. And Pundalika knew that the Lord was standing at the entrance of his house, but even at that point in time, he said, I cannot leave this duty of massaging the feet of my parents. They have not yet slept. Once they sleep, O Lord, I can come and have your darshan. Meanwhile, if you don't mind, can you just wait for a little while? And he pushed a brick to the door of the house, saying, Lord, if you don't mind, can you just sit on this? I will come once my parents sleep. And they say the Lord was so happy, so gracious. The Lord stood on that brick with arms akimbo, that is, arms on his hips and a radiant smile on his face. And only after his parents slept, Pundalika finally went to the Lord. And he begged forgiveness for making the Lord wait for so long. But the Lord was so happy with Pundalika. Extremely pleased with the devotion that Pundalika had towards his parents. The Lord blessed him profusely. The Lord asked him, tell me what boon shall I shower on you, O Pundalika? And look at the heart of Pundalika. He said, O Lord, just as you have blessed me, shower your grace on all the devotees. Please stay back on earth so that everyone can see you, worship you and earn your grace. And the Lord acceded to his selfless request. And that is how we have this beautiful Panduranga Kshetra. We have the beautiful shrine of Lord Vithala in Pandharpur. Interestingly, when Bhagwan was in Hatshi and inaugurated the Sri Satyasai Panduranga Kshetra, that is where Bhagwan mentioned, repentance is true atonement. Unknowingly, people may commit mistakes, but once they realize their mistakes, and once they repent, Swami said, that is their true atonement. 29th October 2009. And this is what Bhagwan mentions in this point number 38 of Sandeha Nivarani, chapter 7. Where Swami is telling, look at your own mistakes. Don't look at the mistakes of others. It is because Ratnakara looked at his mistake and started doing actions to atone for his sin that he became Valmiki. It is because Ramadas understood his mistake and repented and prayed to the Lord that he became Samartha Ramadas. it is because so many saints like Pundalika, who understood their mistake and started correcting their life sincerely, that their lives became holy. In fact, it was the story of Pundarika's devoted service to his parents that revived in Ramdas' mind about the idea of him going back and serving his own aged mother. And he did go back home. His old mother could not recognize him, because Ramdas, as I told you, had left the house when he was a little boy. And now he had his long beard and strange dress. He goes to his mother and says, "Mother, I am your Narayana. Now people are calling me Ramdas, Samartha Ramdas." And when mother heard that word, that name, Samartha Ramdas, the mother exclaimed ecstatically, "Oh my dear son, I have been hearing so much about Samartha Ramdas. I wanted to eagerly see him for a long time, but I never knew that Samartha Ramdas is my own son, Narayana." And the mother is in tears and he says, "I am so proud of you. I am so honored to be the mother of such a great one. My life is fulfilled," the mother says, and she breathes her last. She breathes her last on her son's lap. And Ramdas duly performs the obsequies of his mother. That is the beautiful story of Samartha Ramdas, intertwined with the story of Pundalika, the story of Shivaji. In fact, shortly thereafter, Ramdas hears about Shivaji's death and he goes to the king's capital. He installs Shivaji's son as a king and he blesses him so that he might rule the kingdom, following the footsteps of his noble father. So this is the power of we not looking at others' mistakes, but taking responsibility when we have committed our own mistakes, discovering our own faults instead of seeing 10 faults in others. Swami is so emphatic. Swami says, do not search for others' faults. Search for your own mistakes and throw them away. It is enough if you search and discover one fault of yours. That is better than finding 10 in others. These are the few thoughts that came to me as I read this again and again. How so many beautiful souls became beautiful by looking at their own mistakes and making amends in their character. Even though what Bhagwan has said is simple, but if only we can take it into heart, into our heart, and see to what extent we can implement this in our lives. If we do this, we will definitely find more happiness. We will definitely see His presence and we will definitely earn the grace like all these beautiful souls received from the Lord. So dear listeners, with that, it's time to draw the curtains on this episode of Vahini Satsang. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. offering at his lotus feet this little endeavor with gratitude and love, bring this session to a close. Thank you so much for being with me through this beautiful journey. Jai Sai Ram.